السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters at the madrasa, make dua that Allah Ta'ala give me the himmat to say something which will be beneficial for myself and for all of you.
Amen.
Sometimes we feel like making an excuse for the bayan, but looking at the ikhlas of the people that attend, I believe that inshallah something said would be a means of najat and salvation.
Inshallah.
Because what else could have brought you here? As I always say, that here we don't distribute jalebi and Kruger ends after the bayans. So there's nothing else that has brought you here except that you want to listen to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and make islah of the nafs. So in your ikhlas I've got no doubt, and that is a great sifat. We have ulama here who make tafsir of the Quran Sharif. They have qualified from institutions. What else brings them here? They're not increasing the knowledge in any way. So sometimes when I feel a little ill and want to make an excuse, but looking at your ikhlas, Allah Ta'ala gives me the himmat again to continue. Brothers, the subject that we were discussing was a talk that I had given at Karachi about a fortnight ago. I already explained to you that what is the requirement in the life of a salik according to Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali. Now we proceed a little further from there. A hadith sharif that I quoted was that which Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, a great sheikh of tariqat, a great alim, a great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who had great or large number of disciples and murids. So he says that I studied 4,000 hadiths by 400 ustads.
Wow.
Put these fans on too, some people might be feeling hot. By 400 ustads, he says 4,000 hadiths. Of course he studied much more than that, but he's talking about those with sanad and all that. He says 4,000 hadiths. And those 400 ustads also were not sitting in one place and he studied by them. In those days they should travel. If somebody heard that so and so has got one hadith authentically reported and it has reached him via a very reliable source, then even if it meant 1 month's journey on camel or horse, they undertook the journey just to go and learn that one hadith. So in this way, in his travels, 400 ustads, 400 different mashayikh, he says 4,000 hadiths with sanad which he learned. He says, of all the 4,000, only one I chose for my amal. Of the 4,000 hadiths, he says, I chose just one hadith for amal. So the question arises that if he just chose one hadith for amal, then what was in that hadith that it covered the whole of deen? Because he could not have been just making amal on one juz or one aspect or one part of sharia and expecting to be wali of Allah Ta'ala and expecting salvation and najat. So he said, the hadith which I chose for my amal and for my practice. Again, from this we learn that they were interested in amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai na nari hai. It's the amal that will make your jannat or it will make your jahannam. Practice, actions, deeds. With our deeds either we become jannatis or we become jahannamis. عمل سے بنتی ہے زندگی یہ جنت بھی جہنم بھی یہ خاکی اپنی فطرت میں نہ نوری ہے نہ ناری ہے by birth we are neither nuri nor nari Allah Ta'ala has given us birth on fitrat and after that when we become mature and baligh and sane so at that time now it, the decision will be made that our actions will now make the decision for us whether we are going to jahannam or we are going to jannat so they were concerned about amal so he says the hadith which I chose for my amal is that i'mal Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says اعمل للدنيا بقدر بقائك فيها that for the sake of this dunya do that much as long as you are going to be staying in this world is going to come to an end one day how long are we going to stay so to have very long plans and ambitions and aspirations and hopes our life will pass away and we will not have anything in our credit account with regards to good deeds and actions kasb mein duniya hi ke raha mein deen ki daulat kuch na kamayi kasb mein duniya hi ke raha mein deen ki daulat kuch na kamayi which you hear in the zikr program every Thursdays kasb mein duniya hi ke raha mein deen ki daulat kuch na kamayi So to earn dunya is not only permissible, it is necessary. For a person to earn halal livelihood, it is a farz after the other farais. But to become a worm of the world, the person just becomes like the frog in the well, that everything is nothing but the dunya. And the dunya is not being used as wasila of akhirat, then it becomes a problem. If that dunya becomes a wasila, a means of getting the akhirat, then there's nothing wrong with it. Then it is ni'mat dunya, ni'mal mal. But when we become slaves of the dunya, our businesses regulate us, our homes regulate us, our sleep regulates us. We are regulated by all the outside forces. The only force that doesn't regulate us is deen and sharia. Then it means we have become people of the dunya, slaves of dunya. That means the person first looks at his business structure. What are the times of opening, closing, etc., etc. And then if he can fit in one namaz somewhere along the line, then he will fit it in. Or the person is going to earn from any source. If by the way he can make it halal, then he'll make it halal. Otherwise, whether it comes through haram or halal or any source, he's not concerned. Then he has become a slave of the dunya. But if the person believes that Allah Ta'ala is the Razzaq, he is the provider, the person has got his yaqeen, his faith in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's existence, Allah Ta'ala's ahkam he is prepared to fulfill at any cost, and his whole life is regulated by sharia and by deen, his tabiyat becomes shariat. The whole purpose of man on this earth, of Muslims and mu'mins, is that your tabiyat must become shariat. Now nobody will like to eat stool, na'uzu billah. Now the tabiyat will make karahat. The person's mizaj, his nature will make karahat. He will detest, he will dislike. If you have to go to visit somebody and he's got lovely juices on the table and he's also got one jug there with some colored juice, and if somebody has to ask him what is that, he says, no, in urine we've just put a little bit of flavor. Will that person be even able to eat the other biryani and things that are there? He will want to go and spew. Why? Because his tabiyat is making karahiyat. His nature won't accept it. His tabiyat will detest it. It wants to throw it out. So the tabiyat of a person must become shariat. The tabiyat of the person must become shariat. That everything that shariat likes for him, he must like. And whatever shariat detests and dislikes, it must be just like that filth of urine and stool to him. When the person reaches that muqam, then he has connected himself with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That his tabiyat must become shariat. There must be some force that holds him back from going towards haram in any field of life. that becomes his mizaj, his tabiyat. There will be a lot of attractions, a lot of pull, there will be a lot of temptations. But the person says that, no, I'm not going to go towards it, because my Allah is displeased with me. In the Jummah Bayan, I gave that example, that there was a king of Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi's example, that there was a king who had a fort, because the congregation and the audience is different and our sisters haven't heard it, that there was a king who was living in a fort, and his life was nothing but wine, women, song, enjoyment, pleasure of the haram kind, all kinds of pleasures, no concern of akhirat, no concern of deen, no concern of Allah Ta'ala, because he had plenty of gold, silver, and he had plenty of khadims or servants, he had plenty of pomp and show, so why should he worry about akhirat? But there were five canals that were bringing water into this fort. So his courtiers and his friends and his ministers told him that, our dear king, this water is only coming from the outside. If the enemies have to put a block and stop the water coming into this fort and into your palace, then you will die of thirst. The people will have no water to drink. The easiest thing for the enemies would be to cut off the water supply. Then what are you going to do? So therefore, dig one well inside the fort also. Dig, even if it's a small well, let some water supply be inside, so that if the enemy is cut off the outside supplies, you at least have some water inside. So he said, there's no need for it. We are enjoying ourselves and there's plentiful of water that's coming from all the canals. What is the need to dig up wells inside here? So he continued with his enjoyment, fun, pleasure, entertainment. One day the enemies in full force came and they said, the only way to defeat this king is to cut off this water supply. So they cut off all the water supply. All the canals were blocked. Now no water is going inside. After some time, out of thirst, they had to give in, surrender, or some of them died of thirst. Now he gives this example and he says, the five senses are the five canals that are bringing in pleasure into our heart. Sometimes we are enjoying the pleasure through our eyes, the haram television programs, the filthy magazines, the porn movies. All the filth that we see with our eyes is giving us pleasure inside. It's a canal that's bringing in pleasure inside. Watching those women and those pretty faces which Allah Ta'ala has made haram to see, but is bringing pleasure inside. Then with our ears, we are listening to all the film actors and actresses singing away. We are listening to the music, we are listening to riba, we are listening to all the haram and enjoying ourselves. Then through our noses, we are inhaling so much of fragrance that are on the bodies of those who are haram for us to associate with. Whether it is in hotel rooms or whether it is in anywhere else, but the person is inhaling those fragrances and is getting enjoyment in his heart. All that pleasure is coming through our tongues, that we are putting in inside all kinds of halal, haram, sab kuch andar hai mast kalandar. Halal, haram, sab kuch andar, lekin hai mast kalandar. So the enjoyment is coming. Sometimes eating here, eating there, taking through interest, through bribery, through gambling, all different things going inside, giving pleasure to the heart. Haram entertainment. Sometimes it's through touch. Our hands are touching those bodies that's haram for us to touch. Our lips are touching those lips which are haram for us to kiss. Our feet are walking towards those places that it is haram for us to walk. But these senses of touch, so enjoyment and pleasure is coming through these things. Now some Sufi sahab tells us, some sheikh tells us, some wali and some buzrug or some alim-e-haq and alim-e-deen, he tells us, he says that these are all outside canals that are bringing in haram pleasures into your heart. One day Israel alayhi salatu wasalam is going to put a block onto all these pleasures. So dig up inside, inside your heart, dig up a well of amal, of good deeds. With the same eyes, bring in amal, dig up the well inside. With the same eyes, see the good things and dig up a well inside of amal e saliha. With the same ears, listen to things which are permissible, which are of reward, which are of sawab, and then dig up inside that well of amal e saliha. With the same hands and the same feet, you don't have to go and bring another body. We don't have to go to another world. It's the same eyes, the same ears, the same tongue, the same nose, and the same hands and the same feet with which we will dig up that well inside of amal e saliha. He says, dig up this, because one day there will be a block on all these canals of haram, then you will be making high, high, but it will be too late. So he says, no, what is the need for it? I'm enjoying myself. Look at my palace, look at my clothes, look at my cars, look at my servants, look at my offices, look at my gold and silver, look at my oil wells. I'm owning the largest oil well in the world. So he says, what must I be concerned about all these things? Let me enjoy myself. Then suddenly that snap comes. The angel of death comes and he makes, hi, hi, I didn't dig up that well inside. The first couplet that I heard from my Shaykh in the first bayan that I heard with my own ears. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se bachane ko nahi, maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se bachane ko nahi. Juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi, juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi, kya qiyamat hai ke isse tu khabardar nahi. Maal and aulad are not going to accompany you to the grave. Maal and aulad will remain here. The maal which we used for Allah's pleasure, that will accompany us to the grave. And that awlad whom we left behind as awlad e salih, then they will be sadqa jariya for us. They will make dua for us. So that will help us in the grave. Otherwise, that awlad whom we gave cell phones, cars, businesses, homes, and we thought that we have done our duty, but we didn't give them deen, we didn't give them Islam, we didn't give them khawf e khuda, we didn't give them iman and yaqeen, we didn't give them tawakkul, we didn't give them zuhad, we didn't give them qanaat, we didn't give them ma'rifat, then they will just enjoy that wealth that we will leave behind, and in fact sometimes they will create more azab for us. So juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi. In the qabr, it's only going to be that amal which will be your companion. That amal will come to your assistance. From the head side, from the right side, from the left side, from the feet side. Look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It will be those amal that will come as a protection and for this person. So he said, juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi. Kya qiyamat hai ki isse tu khabardar nahi. You are seeing so many janazas going every day and still it doesn't awaken you from your slumber and from your sleep. What qiyamat is this? That was the first one. And immediately he followed it by another one. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo shukriya. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo shukriya. Is manzil se ab akele hi chale jayenge hum. Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo shukriya. Is manzil se ab akele hi chale jayenge hum. Thanks to you, those who have carried me to my grave and left me here. From this manzil I will now go alone. But I thank you that at least you brought me to my destination. But where are you going now, leaving me all alone? Shukriya qabr tak pahunchane walo shukriya. Is manzil se ab akele hi chale jayenge hum. And it was unique that on that day he started off with three couplets. And the third one was,
Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha. Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha. Jo qabre kohan uski ukhdi to dekha na uzve badan tha na tare kafan tha. Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha. Jo qabre kohan uski ukhdi to dekha na uzve badan tha na tare kafan tha.
He says, how many times we have seen, so many times we have seen, that those people who had beautiful clothes, mushayyan badanta muattar kafanta, they used to wear beautiful clothes on their bodies. Their bodies also were very fit and very healthy. They used to jog, they used to exercise, they used to run, they used to go to all the gyms. Every kind of exercising machine that you can think of they used, and they kept their bodies fit. The external body which was going to perish, they kept it very, very fit. And when they died also, because they were from a very noble family, rich family, wealthy families, so their kafan also, they poured bottles of ithar over it. Although it's not jais, but they poured bottles of ithar over the kafan. After some time of burial, when the qabr was opened for burying somebody else inside there, na uzve badanta na tare kafanta, no part of the body was left and no thread of the kafan was left. It is sufficient for the islah of any person. Just these three couplets are sufficient for the islah of any person. That live in this world, but don't give your heart to this world. Don't give the heart to the cars. Don't give the heart to the homes. Don't give the heart to the businesses and to the gold and the silver. Every night close the eyes for a few minutes and picture the home still there, the car still there, the children still there, the gold and silver still there, the bank balances still there at the banks, those beach cottages and those timeshare flats and everything else that the person owned is still there, but the person himself is gone. Picture that every night for a little while. Then we will still run our businesses. We will still run our homes. We will still get married. We will bring up children. We will laugh. We will joke. We will smile. We will be cheerful and happy. We will do everything that a normal person does. But we will not go towards haram, because we know that the end result is going to be bad. So the person will still be in the world. He will not become an abnormal person. He will not be reading too much of wazifas. He will not be standing whole night in prayers. He will not be fasting every day of the year. Nothing like that. Duniya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. Duniya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. Wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe. So he will still be with everybody, but his heart will be with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His heart will be with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We say, how can the person be with everybody and still his heart be somewhere else? All of us have got that experience, that if a person is under stress, he's got a lot of problems, he's got a lot of worries, there is a court case that is coming up, the person is arrested and is charged for murder, and now there's a case that's coming up, and is worried about the verdict, guilty or not guilty. Now the person is still eating, he's drinking, he's traveling around, going and visiting this person, trying to get assistance here, assistance there. He's making namaz too, he's doing everything. But his mind is there. What will be the decision there? This world will pass one day. One day this world is going to end. But what is going to be the decision in the hereafter? So the person's heart is with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. हम ऐसे रहे या के वैसे रहे, वहां देखना है कि कैसे रहे। हम ऐसे रहे या के वैसे रहे, वहां देखना है कि कैसे रहे। What are we going to worry about what people call us in this world? We can be given big, big titles. Prime Minister, Cabinet Minister, Maulana Sahab, Mufti Sahab, Qari Sahab. All kinds of titles we can get. But we have to wait until that day when Allah Ta'ala will say that I am pleased with you. When Allah Ta'ala will say I am pleased with you, then that will be the day for real and true smile and real joy and real laughter. When Allah Ta'ala will say, I am pleased with you. But the signs are given in this world when Allah Ta'ala is pleased with somebody. Allah Ta'ala puts the muhabbat of that person first of all into the heart of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is told to announce in the world, first to the other angels, and then in this world he puts into the hearts of the Ahlullah that I love, Allah Ta'ala loves so and so, you too love him. Then his love comes into the hearts of the people of Allah. That is the sign in this world. But still on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala will say, I'm pleased with you, then that will be the day for real rejoicing and smiling. Otherwise in this world, there are occasions of joy, of happiness, of laughter, and Shariat does not want us to be sad on those days. Shariat wants us to smile, to be cheerful, to laugh. There are times when we have to cry before Allah Ta'ala. There are times when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he gave bayan on the Jummah day, it was as if he's warning that there is an army that is about to attack you. His eyes used to turn red, his voice used to be raised. But then again afterwards with his family, with his people, there was a total difference. In dua sometimes the person is crying. It is as if he is in another world altogether. But again after that he must become normal with everybody. He is again cheerful, smiling. So his heart is with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. People were dressing up a bride and they told her, you are looking very beautiful. After they put on her jewelry and her gown and they brushed her face and made her look a little bit like a clown, then they told her, you are looking very, very nice. So they told her, you're looking very nice. So she started tearing. Said, why are you tearing? We are saying that you are looking very pretty, you are looking very nice. He says, all you people telling me looking very nice is of no consequence. When my husband will say that I love you and you're looking nice, then that will be the time for me to smile. Wow. Ah, what a lesson in there. That the whole world can tell us you are very nice and very good. But when Allah Ta'ala will say on the day of Qiyamah that you are nice, then we will be really nice. So he says, اعمل للدنيا بقدر مقامك فيها. Make that much amal for this dunya as long as you are going to stay in this world. Now how long are we going to stay? So what is the sense of planning for generations? Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Nothing wrong with leaving behind. In fact, Shariat says you must leave behind so that your children don't have to extend their hands before anybody. So if Allah Ta'ala blesses somebody with wealth and he leaves behind a property, a home, a business, it's good. So that the child can be independent. The child does not have to cast his glance or extend his hands. That is why Allah Ta'ala has got masail of virasat. But it must be within the framework of Sharia, the parameters of Sharia. Don't go towards haram. Don't go towards doubtful things. Don't go towards that which is displeasing Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in this dunya we have to live, we have to work, we have to earn, we have to do everything. But think how long, are we going to be in this world? Do that much work. Don't spend all our energies, all our time, all our effort in just trying to develop or to build up an empire which we are going to leave behind. With good niyat, if the person does business, there's nothing wrong. So, اعمل للدنيا بقدر مقامك فيها. So, as the Shibli Rahmatullah Alayhi says, I chose this hadith for my amal. In other words, now, I will do that much for this dunya as long as I'm going to stay. Now, how long am I going to stay? I don't even know. Whether it's going to be 1 year, 1 month, 10 years, or 100 years. So, the person will do that much which is necessary. That's what it means. he will spend that much time in the earning of livelihood and dunya as much as is necessary. اعمل للآخرة بقدر بقائك فيها. And do that much for the akhirat as much as you are going to stay there. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah gives an example that if this whole universe is filled with grains, and just one bird picks up one grain once in 100,000 years, the entire world is filled with grains, and one bird picks up one grain in 100,000 years, he says, then too the world will come to an end. Then too the world will come to an end. But the akhirat will never end. Jannat will never end. Jahannam will never end. The world will still come to an end, even if we have to imagine the whole world filled with grains and one bird picking up one grain. Then too, because it's limited, dunya is limited. So therefore we should do that much for the dunya as much as is necessary. And for the akhirat, which is unlimited, then we should do that much for the akhirat as much as we are going to stay there. So again it comes to the same thing, that we have to make amal-e-saliha. Take with us amal-e-saliha. Because we are going to remain there quite long. So therefore let us take sufficient amount of amal-e-saliha with us. So, اعمل للدنيا بقدر مقامك فيها وعمل للآخرة بقدر بقائك فيها وعمل لله تعالى بقدر حاجتك إليه. And do that much for Allah تبارك وتعالى as much as you are in need of Allah. Do that much for the sake of Allah as much as you are in need of Allah تعالى. In other words, we are in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala every single moment of our lives. When a person cannot relieve himself, his urine gets blocked. See what kind of screams the person sometimes gives. And we take it for granted that this system of ours is working, so we're quite happy. The person who cannot get sleep, ask him what a big problem that is. And the person who is only sleeping all the time, ask him what a big problem that is. Because some of them just, they make the beds their qabrastan. So every namat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala we are in need of. Our breathing in, our exhaling, it's a great namat. Those who are asthmatic, what a big problem it is. Our hearts, our liver, our lung, our eyes, every ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala we are in need of, and it is in the control of Allah ta'ala. In whose else control is it? It is in the control of Allah ta'ala. It's not in our control. So when we are in need of Him every minute of our lives, so therefore we should obey Him every minute of our lives. That's what it means. That whatever is the hukam of Allah ta'ala, and that is the true zikr, that whatever hukam is directed at a person at a particular time, then to fulfill that hukam, that order of Allah, that is zikrullah. If a person is making tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, 24 hours, but namaz time he doesn't make namaz, so he'll say he didn't make zikr, because namaz time he was supposed to make salat. Then his father, his mother, somebody, his child, his wife, somebody was very sick and very ill, and at that time it was his duty to go take them to the doctors, bring some medication, care for the old parents. But the person neglected that, but he's reading tasbih in the masjid. So we'll see he has neglected the true zikrullah. At that time, that was the zikrullah, that he should go and look after their needs. At that moment, it is not zikrullah to be in hajj, if it is nafil hajj. Lots of people, they want sawab, they say, want sawab. Say, well, this is your sawab at the moment. Where are you running there for sawab? You are running away from your duty, from your obligation. So zikrullah will mean that at that moment, that is what he should be doing. Now when it's the time to go and earn halal livelihood, the person says, no, why should I worry about halal livelihood? I will beg around here and there, let me sit in the masjid and read tasbih. So that reading of tasbih in the masjid at that time is not zikrullah. Zikrullah at that time is go into the marketplace and go and do some buying, selling. Don't run away from the obligation. So that is what it means. That do for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as much as you are in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And since we are in need of Him every moment of our lives, we should be all the time obeying that Allah, following Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings. If we have to go into the details, it will require hours. And then he says that after that, اِعْمَلْ لِلنَّارِ بِقَدْرِ صَبْرِكَ عَلَيْهَا. And for the azab of Jahannam, do that much as you have the tolerance in you to bear that azab of Jahannam. How much you can bear the azab of Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam, then do that much for Jahannam. If you think that you can tolerate the burn of the fire of Jahannam, then go commit zina, commit fraud, go to the casinos, go to the cinemas and theaters, because you have got a lot of strength. But first try it out. Light a stove and on the hot plate put your finger there first for 1 minute. When it's really hot and red, then at that time test it, because I mean you're testing for Jahannam. So first test it here, because this fire has been cooled so many times, 70 times before it has been sent here. So therefore put your finger there, let it burn for 1 minute, and if you can tolerate it, then after that do as much as you can for the azab of Jahannam. In other words, don't do anything that is going to take you to the azab of Jahannam, because you will not be able to bear that fire of azab, that fire of Jahannam. So he says, I chose this hadith for my amal and my practice, meaning that in the light of this hadith now, I regulated my whole life, that I must obey my Allah in all His orders, in all His commands, whether it's namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, my dealings, my relationship with my wife, with my family, with my children, my business deals, everything now, because I have to do for the akhirat as much as I'm going to be there, and I have to do for Allah Ta'ala as much as I'm in need of Him. And I stayed away from all the haram. From all the haram I stayed away, because I don't have the tolerance in me of the azab of Jahannam. So that's what he meant by choosing this one hadith for his amal. So this world is going to come to an end, and that is the whole purpose of these majlises, as I've repeatedly said, that to develop in our hearts that himmat and that courage to give up sins in our lives and to do those things which are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. For a few days, for a few months, for a little while, there will be that pain that we have to take of restraining ourselves. But it will be such a sweet pain when we get connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It will be a very, very sweet pain. The person will sacrifice anything to bring that joy and that happiness after he has tasted it. Then he will sacrifice anything to get it back into his life, if due to some mistakes and some sins again, he has to lose it for a little while. Because that person has tasted the enjoyment of that connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So if we can keep this hadith in front of us, it is sufficient for our Islam. We don't require lengthy speeches. Just some, look at these people, great people, but they chose one hadith for amal. Which means that now if there's some temptation came to sin, so straight away he looked at the last part. اِعْمَلْ لِلنَّارِ بِقَدْرِ صَبْرِكَ عَلَيْهِ. Finish. I said, no, I do not have that kind of a tolerance, so therefore I'm not going to commit that sin. Or even if he looked at the first, for the second part, اِعْمَلْ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ بِقَدْرِ حَاجَتِكَ إِلَيْهِ. Do for Allah Ta'ala as much as you are in need of Him. So I'm in need of my eyes, I'm in need of my hearing, I'm in need of my speech, I'm in need of my business and my earnings and my wealth and my home and my children and everything. So therefore I mustn't displease that Allah, because the only way to get from Allah Ta'ala is by pleasing Him. Don't get confused and carried away or mistaken by what we see in the hands of the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the yahood and the nasara. This is their dunya, this is their jannat. Allah Ta'ala gives it to them. Or even if it's a disbeliever, but he's getting plentiful, although he's indulging in a lot of haram and a lot of sins, then the Quran Sharif ayat, which you have heard on some other majlis, is very, very clear. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving it to them. But why is He giving it to them? فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. the gist of which is and the crux of which is this. Just, I'm just giving you an explanatory meaning. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after sending warnings of ill health, of some earthquake, some shake-up, some tremor, some losses in the family, in the wealth, in the property, if that person still doesn't get up, then Allah ta'ala starts opening the doors of everything. Now suddenly that sick person becomes very healthy and fit. Suddenly that poor person becomes very rich. Suddenly that person who used to walk to work now has got a big Rolls Royce. So the person gets carried away. He thinks, my Allah has become very happy with me, that now I'm enjoying the singing, the dances, the theatres, the cinemas. Before I couldn't even afford that 1 5-rand ticket, but now I can afford front seat. So now what happens is that he gets carried away. And Allah Ta'ala says, then in the midst of that person enjoying, when he's really enjoying himself, then suddenly we call them to account. Allah Ta'ala says, we seize them suddenly, and then they are thrown into complete bewilderment. Say, hi, what has happened? What has happened? And we have seen it happening all over the world, that suddenly those same people then become refugees, and they are in tents, who had everything for them. So we must be very careful of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat being snatched away because of our evil actions and deeds. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and give the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from His azab, from His wrath, from His anger. And may Allah Ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Seek from Allah the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اے اللہ ہمارے ہر گناہ کو تو معاف فرما ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطعن ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے معاف فرما اے اللہ ہمیں صحت دے عافیت دے سلامتی دے عزت دے راحت دے مغفرت دے جنت دے اے اللہ تیری ذات عالی پر یقین دے تیری معرفت نصیب فرما زہد عطا فرما تقوی والی زندگی نصیب فرما صبر و شکر والی زندگی عطا فرما اے اللہ give us such a bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you for a single moment یا اللہ give us the tawfiq to fulfill all your orders your ahkam Give us the tawfiq to do those things that are pleasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us, O Allah, from those things that are displeasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those brothers and sisters of ours, our parents, whosoever has passed away, O Allah, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. And O Allah, when our time comes to leave this world, take us away in a state of Iman. Amen. Take us away in a state that you are pleased with us. Ay Allah, maut ke waqt, koi aisi teri tajalli dikhla de. کہ ہماری روح جھومتی ہوئی تیرے پاس آ جائے اے اللہ مدینہ طیبہ کے اندر شہادت کی موت نصیب فرما رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے روز اقدس پر موت نصیب فرما but our life our death is not مقدر in مدینہ طیبہ wherever it may be let it be in a state that you are pleased with us اے اللہ those who are in financial difficulties and problems remove the difficulties those who are sick and ailing give them cure those who are suffering other kinds of problems remove their problems اے اللہ فلسطین کے مسلمانوں کی مدد فرما اے اللہ مسجد اقصا کی تو حفاظت فرما یہودی ظالم کے قبضے سے تو اس کو چھڑا لے اے اللہ بوسنیا چچنیا کشمیر اور سارے عالم کے اندر جہاں کہیں مسلمان پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين